He realized then that there were no old men or women among the bodies surrounding him. All seemed to be about 25 years old, though it was difficult to determine the exact age, since the hairless heads and pubes made them seem older and younger at the same time. He had boasted that he knew no fear. Now fear ripped away the cry forming in this throat. His fear pressed down on him and squeezed the new life from him. He had been stunned at first because he was still living. Then his position in space and the arrangement of his new environment had frozen his senses. He was seeing and feeling through a thick, semi-opaque window. After a few seconds, something snapped inside him. He could almost hear it, as if a window had suddenly been raised. The world took a shape which he could grasp, though he could not comprehend it. Above him, on both sides, below him, as far as he could see, bodies floated. They were arranged in vertical and horizontal rows. The up-and-down ranks were separated by red rods, slender as broomsticks, one of which was 12 inches from the feet of the sleepers, and the other 12 inches from their heads. Each body was spaced about 6 feet from the body above and below and on each side. The rods came up from an abyss without bottom and soared into an abyss without ceiling. That grayness into which the rods and the bodies, up and down, right and left, disappeared was neither the sky nor the earth. There was nothing in the distance, except the lackluster of infinity. On one side was a dark man with Tuscan features. On his other side was an Asiatic Indian, and beyond her a large Nordic-looking man. Not until the Third Revolution was he able to determine what was so odd about the man. The right arm, from a point just below the elbow, was red. It seemed to lack the outer layer of skin. A few seconds later, several rows away, he saw a male adult body lacking the skin and all the muscles of the face. There were other bodies that were not quite complete. Far away, glimpsed unclearly, was a skeleton and a jumble of organs inside it. He continued turning and observing while his heart slammed against his chest with terror. By then he understood that he was in some colossal chamber, and that the metal rods were radiating some force that somehow supported and revolved millions, maybe billions, of human beings. Where was this place? Certainly it was not the city of Trieste of the Austro-Hungarian Empire of 1890. It was like no hell or heaven of which he had ever heard or read, and he had thought that he was acquainted with every theory of the afterlife. He had died. Now he was alive. He had scoffed all his life at a life after death. For once he could not deny that he had been wrong. But there was no one present to say, "I told you so, you damned infidel." Of all the millions, he alone was awake. As he turned at an estimated rate of 1 complete revolution for 10 seconds, he saw something else that caused him to gasp with amazement. 5 rows away was a body that seemed at first glance to be human. But no member of Homo sapiens had 3 fingers and a thumb on each hand and 4 toes on each foot, nor a nose and thin black leathery lips like a dog's, nor a scrotum with many small knobs, nor ears with such strange convolutions. Terror faded away. His heart quit beating so swiftly, though it did not return to normal. His brain unfroze. He must get out of this situation where he was as helpless as a hog on a turnspit. He would get to somebody who could tell him what he was doing here, how he had come here, why he was here. To decide was to act. He drew up his legs and kicked, and found that the action, the reaction rather, drove him forward a half inch. Again he kicked and moved against the resistance. But as he paused, he was slowly moved back toward his original location, and his legs and arms were gently pushed toward their original rigid position. In a frenzy, kicking his legs and moving his arms in a swimmer's breaststroke, he managed to fight toward the rod. The closer he got to it, the stronger the web of force became. He did not give up. If he did, he would be back where he had been, and without enough strength to begin fighting again. It was not his nature to give up until all his strength had been expended. He was breathing hoarsely. His body was coated with sweat. His arms and legs moved as if in a thick jelly, and his progress was imperceptible.